Yes, there's been report after report after report, has there not, in recent years, looking at the net benefits and costs, the whole cost-benefit analysis of immigration. What they always do, these reports, though, one thing they all have in common is they look at the overall benefit or cost to the UK, to either GDP, either to the Treasury coffers in terms of tax paid, benefits paid out, but in terms of everything that affects the country as a whole, 64 million people of us in our, over our entire geographical area. What they tend not to look at is the net benefit or net cost to individuals. In terms of whether or not it affects their livelihoods, their access to housing, to the local GP or a local school. So I want to ask you two questions. One is immigration, in your view, from the figures you've read, your point of view, is it a net benefit or a net cost to the UK? And what about immigration as a net benefit or a net cost to individuals, whether it's you or anyone you know, in terms of the actual net benefit to individual people who are already here? 03456060973 is the number to call. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to Sir Andrew Green, the director of Migration Watch. But first up, let's talk to Christian Dustman. He's from University College London's Centre for Research and Analysis of Migration. And he co-authored a report today which shows that immigrants from the EU are a net benefit to UK coffers to the tune of £4.4 billion. But immigrants from outside the EU, largely India, Pakistan and former Commonwealth countries in Africa, are a net cost, a huge net cost, by the way, £118 billion. Thank you so much for joining us, Christian. In terms of the, I suppose, this report was initially reported in the media, we were told this was immigration. This is a study that clearly showed a net benefit from immigration. But quite clearly from this, there is a huge net cost, is there not?
I mean, you have to look at them very, very carefully. There was quite some confusion today. So what we focused
Christian, I'm ever so sorry. We've got such a bad line. We're going to try and get you back up on a different line. First up, we're going to talk to Sir Andrew Green, from Director of Migration Watch, first of all. Sir Andrew, thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Is this line okay?
This line is absolutely fine. Congratulations, yes. By the way, on your peerage recently announced.
Thank you very much.
This report, we'll go back to Christian and get what he has to say, but some of the questions I wanted to put to him, I can put to you. In terms of this paper, this is a paper, and there have been a number in recent years which have not been able to find whether there is a big or discernible net cost or benefit. And we're told, look, instead of going on what people feel about immigration, we should go on the facts. What does this paper tell us?
Well, it tells you that if you select your group of migrants and if you select the period of time you're talking about, you can prove anything. But the bottom line is, in my view, is two points. One is that all migrants since 1995 have cost us, in round numbers, between 20 and 25 million pounds a day. That's 20 to 25 million pounds a day. Now, if you then narrow that and you take only EU migrants, and if you then take them only since 2001, you find that they have contributed 20 billion to the exchequer. But if you look at that, that's over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that's actually 2 billion a year, and that amounts to less than a pound a week for each person in this country. So although it's sort of presented as a huge sum of money, actually it's a very small sum of money. And it has to be set, in our view, has to be set against the implications for people already in this country of an extra 1 million people from Europe. And all that does to our maternity units, our primary schools, our housing, our road congestion and so on.
This is one of the issues, isn't it, in terms of when we, as ordinary members of the public, as taxpayers, as voters, when we try and look at this, we've had years, and I've discussed this with many people and with you many times, about anyone talking about immigration instantly a racist. But now we've moved on to the fact, the criticism is people are not dealing with the facts. The facts say, we're told again and again, that immigration is a net benefit to the country economically, and people who don't like immigration, it's for xenophobic reasons, it's for irrational reasons. You're saying that actually the stats do not show that there is any sizable net benefit, and indeed, if you actually don't, you're not selective about which migrants you talk about, there is quite clearly a very large net cost.
Exactly, even on their own report. But it's not only us. I mean, the House of Lords Economic Committee did a study of this, the only major study ever conducted in Britain, in 2008. And that was a committee that included two former Chancellors of the Exchequer, a former Governor of the Bank of England, and so on. And they came to a very clear conclusion. They said that we found no evidence for the argument made by the government, business, and many others that net migration generates significant economic benefits for the existing UK population. I mean, that's an absolutely crystal clear conclusion they came to after months of hearings and a report which runs to about 90 pages. So it's not that the facts aren't out there. It's not that we haven't been saying it in Migration Watch for 10 years. It is that some sections of the media are just not prepared to take account of serious work by, for example, the House of Lords or Professor Rowthorne and several others.
OK, so Andrew Green, if you could stay on the line, I'd be very grateful. He's Director of Migration Watch, and we'll come back to you afterwards if we can. But we've got Christian Dustman, who's from the UCL and who co-authored this report, Back on a Better Line. Christian, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, that's a much better line. Thank you so much indeed for waiting on their line for us. In terms of this report, as I mentioned to you earlier, the reports I first heard when I woke up this morning were all about how there was clearly a net benefit from immigration from the EU. But this ignores the fact that later on in your document, there is this huge, huge net cost of immigrants from outside the EU. Why did you choose to stress the £4.4 billion net benefit from EU migrants and play down the £118 billion net cost of outside?
Well, I think we have to, at the same time, natives made a net contribution which was negative in the magnitude of £590 billion. Mm-hmm. And the simple reason is we were running a deficit. But let me come back to the first point. Now, what we do in part, we focus on the type of migration about which the public debate is at the moment. And that is migration from European and non-European countries from 2000 onwards. So for immigrants whom we observe from the start of their migration history in this country, who arrived from 2000 onwards over the period between 2000 and 2011, mm-hmm. we find a clear and large fiscal net contribution. That's not just true on average, but it is also true when we split these groups up in different origin groups. That is true for immigrants who come from non-EEA countries, as well as immigrants who come from Europe in the sense of old Europe, but also from those countries who joined the European Union after 2004, the Central and Eastern European countries.
And yeah, if you go from 1995, the things are different. Can I go back? You talk about you talk about the negative contribution of £591 billion over this 17-year period from native Britons. The idea being that, look, actually, immigrants to Britain make a bigger contribution than the average Briton does. But is it not the case, and I know Migration Watch have pointed this out, is it not the case that your average migrant to this country will be a young, economically active person of working age, without health issues, probably not needing to go to school, not needing a pension, but able to work and contribute, whereas the average native Briton will include children. It will also include the many millions of pensioners. So you're not actually claiming, you're not comparing like with like. If you were comparing the average Briton of working age with the average immigrant of working age, you'd come up with a completely different statistic, wouldn't you?
Well, we do that as well at another part of the report.
But you did make that comparison. You included pensioners in your comparison of native Britons, which makes a nonsense of your comparison.
You need to let me talk as well.
I'm asking you a question.
We also look at those populations in another part of the report, mm-hmm. where we look at the likelihood that immigrants or natives receive benefits, mm-hmm. Or any kind of transfer. And we can, in that type of analysis, so to say, make them equal in terms of the age structure with natives. Again, we find that immigrants are drawing far less on the transfer and benefit system, as that is the case.
When you were comparing working age.
Now, they are all working age mm-hmm. immigrants.
Yep.
So let me come back to the point you made a little bit earlier. You are very right. These immigrants are very young. They are on average around 26, 27 years old. They may draw more on the welfare system at later ages if they then stay in the UK. So we have a very large return migration individuals who come here to work for some years and then they go back. The second aspect, which in our view is very important, is that these immigrants, on average, are better educated than natives. They are at the beginning of their career. So with 25, you clearly haven't reached the peak of your career.
Yes.
And that means you pay less taxes than you will probably do when you are 40 or 45.
Yeah.
So that is counteracting the possible increase in transfers that these migrants may demand when they get older. In which direction it will go in the end is something we can only speculate
and
about.
And it depends very much on whether they do return to their home countries. However, do you take into the account the extra costs of pressures on public services? And you look into the money earned,
absolutely,
taxes. Well, wait a second. Let me finish the question. Taxes paid and benefits received. But in terms of the extra pressure on housing, for instance, pushing house prices up for native Britons, in terms of the cost of time waiting to get a GP appointment, maternity ward problems, difficulty of getting your child into a local state school, community cohesion issues, the effect on wages for other workers at the bottom end of the wage structure, because extra competition for jobs and their inability to push up the minimum wage. Do you take into account all of those costs? Because my understanding is your report doesn't.
So what we do is we look at the fiscal, net fiscal impact of migration. You raise a large number of issues. Each of them would require very careful analysis. So we can only talk about what we have done research on in this particular report. But let me make the following point. Of course, we consider the cost of housing. We consider transfers to immigrants. That's precisely what the analysis is.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, an issue when we have demographic changes, which is precisely what we are observing at the moment in the UK. The population is growing, partly through migration. And every time the population is growing, we have to adjust public services.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, is clearly problematic for those areas or for those people who live in areas where these developments are very extreme. However, that has to be separated from the question whether immigrants contribute to paying to those extensions.
But again, that's where the issue gets stuck, is that actually those extra costs can vastly outweigh. We're going to leave it there with Christian Dustman from UCL Centre for Research and Analysis of Migration. He co-authored this report. Very much appreciate you joining us. Just going to go back very, very briefly to Andrew Green, Director of Migration Watch. A lot of the criticisms that your organisation has made of this report, Christian has certainly answered, saying, look, you know, they have looked at the public services. They have looked at comparing like with like in terms of the population. So are his findings sound on that basis, Andrew?
Well, there are two points on that. One is that his own report says that the contribution in the last 10 years of EU migrants was 20 billion. Well, when you work that out, I think I mentioned earlier,
yes,
that's less than a pound a week.
Yeah.
I thought you asked an extremely good question when you referred to other impacts like house prices, people waiting longer for a GP, people can't get their children into the primary school they want to go to, strains on our society. I mean, none of those things are taken account of in this report, none at all. And the frankly trivial contribution that migrants are making, if any, to our exchequer, in our view, do not remotely counterbalance these factors.
Okay, so Andrew Green, we'll have to leave it there as well. Time is very much against us. Andrew Green, Director of Migration Watch. Well, we try to get very much both sides of this debate on, and I want to hear what you have to say. Immigration, is it a net benefit or a net cost both to the UK and to individuals already living here? 03456060973 is the number to call. Coming up after an update on the traffic and travel, we'll get to those calls. This is LBC, and the time now is 3:18.